You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hey Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCfootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Trojan fans, welcome to a very special edition of the Peristyle Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham, publisher of USCfootball.com, joined alongside my partner in crime, Mr. Triple Double himself, Connor Morissette. And we have a very special guest, Easton Mascarenhas Arnold here, USC linebacker transferring in from Oregon State, is joining us thanks to House of Victory. Easton, thanks for coming on, man. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys a lot.
It's awesome. We appreciate you coming in. Got a fun show for you today. We got a recap USC in the NFL draft. Seven former Trojan football players picked in the draft, including this guy, Caleb Williams. You might have heard of him, going number one to the Chicago Bears. So we're going to kind of go over that a little bit later on. House of Victory, who we thank for setting this up with Easton, did have a really cool event last night, the Legends of Troy. A lot of former USC football players and other USC athletes were there. Jen Cohen was there, Lincoln Riley, Lindsey Gottlieb, Eric Musselman, the new basketball coach. Tons of people around the USC community, a lot of big donors and things like that. It was a lot of fun. So we'll, I can put a picture up there real quick. This was like the event down at the Balboa Club in Newport Beach. Really swank down there. Cool looking stuff. So we'll kind of go over that a little bit with Connor later on. And if you're watching us live on our YouTube channel and you have questions for Easton or for us, I'll star them and kind of put them up on the screen as we go. And thanks, everyone, for listening, for watching and all that. And appreciate Easton coming on. And again, I mentioned this was like a House of Victory thing. They've set this up. If you do want to donate and get your, you know, your funds go to guys like Easton and the players on the team to help them out, you can use the QR code that's on your screen if you're watching on YouTube and do that as well. At least before we get anything, I just wanted to, you know, talk to you about your experience with House of Victory since you've come on the last several months and any kind of charity work or things you've done working with House of Victory.
Yeah, man, it's been really good. I think House of Victory's done a good job of welcoming all the new guys in, especially just making it feel like a community. I think with the work that we're doing with, whether it be giving back to the homeless or just working with kids, something like that. I think it's all just, it's really good. It not only does it give you gratitude for what you're doing, but it also makes you feel like, it makes you feel really, really accepting about what you're doing. Not everybody is available to do what we do. I think it's really important for people to understand that, especially as an athlete, like not everybody, God has plans for everybody. Not everybody's fortunate enough and blessed to be in this position. So I think doing charity work and giving back to the community around LA, I think it's really good for us to keep us level-headed and understand how fortunate we are to be in this position. So shout out to House of Victory. Thank you for everything. But yeah, they've done a really good job with that.
Yeah, the partnership has been awesome. And like Ryan said, it was great to be a part of the Legends of Troy
event last night. I shouldn't say I was a part of it. Great to just be there and witness at Easton. So first spring practice or first spring camp is done at USC. What were your overall takeaways from spring camp, and what were the differences between spring camp at USC and spring camp at Oregon State?
I really just tried to go into this one, just with this being my last year of college ball, my last spring ball, my college career. I kind of went into it with just trying to enjoy every day and enjoy every moment, especially being in back home in Southern California. I think it's a really good opportunity for my brother and I. But the difference between the two, I think it's all the same football, same schedules. I would say here we do a little bit more, whether it be later in the day or in terms of getting after in the weight room. But I mean, shoot, football is ball, is what you signed up for. But yeah, I'm really thankful to be here, and I thought spring went really well. Learning the scheme was really good. Overall the spring was well. I'm looking forward to these summer workouts and then getting into fall camp and season.
Yeah, so you played, so people don't know, you played at Oregon State 3 years, playing linebacker there. You're going to your senior year. It's funny, I guess you're the first class that was like post the COVID year, right? So you're like, for you to be like, it's my fourth year and I'm done. That's like, so usually we're here in like 6 or 7 years, but you're like, right, I played for 4 years and now I'm done. Like, you're kind of like it's like a throwback or the OGs or something.
Yeah. Shout out to all my 2021 graduates from high school. Cause yeah, we had a weird turn of events for sure. But yeah, I didn't get that extra COVID year like some people did, but I mean, shoot, my whole plan though, going out of high school was to just, I think four and done was my mindset regardless of what happened.
Like some people did, your brother comes to mind with that COVID year.
Oh, yeah.
I know he wouldn't be here at USC right now without that. But
yeah, you guys are the same year, right? Even though he was a couple was 2 years older.
Yeah, he's 2 years older, but we're the same eligibility. Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy.
Yeah.
it's funny how that worked out, Easton. So. The linebacker coach, Matt Entz, a guy who Lincoln Riley targeted, a guy with head coaching experience, championship caliber coach there at the FCS level. What's it like being coached by him? And we can't watch a ton of practice, but I tried to focus on the linebackers as much as I could when we were allowed in. And you can just hear Coach Entz's voice. He's loud. He's on you guys. What's it like to be coached by him? And he's sort of a unique guy where he was a head coach. Now he goes back to being a position coach. What have you learned from him? And just what's it like being around him?
Sure. The first thing that comes to mind is his energy. He brings a lot of energy to practice. By the end of practice, Denver, every time his voice is gone. So I don't know how that puts it in perspective, but yeah, his energy, his juice. You can tell he's making an adjustment as well with his coaching style, going from coaching an entire team to trying to focus in specifically on just one core group. He's for sure adjusting with that too. But I think his overall leadership, being able to lead a team to, I don't know how many national championships he has. I think it was like 6 or 7. But I mean, just having that experience in the room, not only does it help me, but it also helps all the other guys in the room as well. And shoot, just having a guy like that with so much knowledge, to pick his brain is something I have. Not everybody's fortunate enough to have a head coach step down from his job to come to be a position coach. So I think I'm really fortunate, and along with the other guys in the room.
You and your brother come in. I'll put up a picture of Akili there too. Like, you guys come in, big part of. You like the picture with a little beard?
That's a good one.
It's pretty good. You guys came from, you know, where you're both, you know, starring on this. A really good Oregon State defense. Like, it's been that's one of the strengths of the team. Oregon State, Trent Bray was doing a really nice job up there as the defensive coordinator. And you come to a team that, you know, was struggling on the defensive side, had to pretty much, you know, revamp the entire staff, trying to bring in some players. Like, is that something you could kind of feel? I don't know if it's a morale thing or whatever, but, you know, being part of like a really strong defensive unit and now trying to build one up at a place that wasn't very strong.
No, not necessarily. No, like coming in here, I don't think the players resemble the stats from last year. Like coming in here, the guys here, they're all dogs. Like you can tell just by watching them, just by how they play, their production is high level. So to me, it's surprising that guys like this wasn't able to perform to the standard of USC. So I think I don't think it's going to be too much of a challenge this year, especially with the coaching change and how well we've responded as a defensive unit to Coach Lynn and all the new coaches. I mean, sure, everybody got really a new coach this year, but I think how we responded to all the change, I think this year's going to be a really good year. And like I said, last year I don't think resembles the group we got here. The only difference I see between here and Oregon State is a lot of the guys at Oregon State, the mentality really was, you know, we didn't have a lot of guys that were rated very high, including myself for a good amount of time, wasn't rated very high. So we really came in and just put our head down to work. So I think that's really what bonded us at Oregon State. But here with the right proper scheme, with the players we got, I mean, shoot, nothing should be able to stop us, for sure.
You mentioned Danton Lynn there. And, of course, the opportunity to come back to Southern California, I'm sure, played a big role in you ending up at USC. But how big of a role did Danton Lynn play coming over from UCLA, the fact that he was recruiting you and he wanted you and your brother to be at USC?
He ultimately was, I'd say, top three reasons why Keely and I decided to come here, because we had taken another visit to U of A and then here. And our main focus on our visits, we only took two, but our main focus on our visits was we didn't do no photo shoots. We didn't need to see the locker room. We didn't see any of that. We wanted to get into as much film time as we could, learn the scheme, learn the schematics of it, and understand the defense, what we were walking into, and how it would help us and benefit us, as well as how we could benefit the team. So I think having Coach Lynn here, just even going through one spring of, I think it's about 6 weeks of football, has just shown to me that, I mean, he was in the league for a reason, coaching on the Ravens. So, I mean, shoot, like the high caliber coaches we got here, especially, I mean, Coach Ham, we got two league guys coming down. We got a national championship head coach here. Like, we got Coach Belk too. Like, we got a lot of guys on the team that are on the staff that are pushing for us to win a lot of games this year.
I think anyone that's a fan of college football, and especially West Coast college football, I mean, I do a podcast of champions, a Pac-12 podcast, and Oregon State was always sort of like a fan favorite. You know, they're never getting the love or whatever that other programs were getting. And I think people hate to see what happened with Oregon State and Washington State. I mean, obviously, I assume that's a big part of the reason why you and your brother decided to, you know, transfer for your final year. But what was it sort of like being there when it's just like, you guys had a good team and things were just like out of your control, or so it seemed like they were crumbling around you, if that makes sense?
It was really strange, especially with – I had went through one coaching change in my career with my DC, but it wasn't relatively as crazy as this one. Just – I mean, ultimately, some of the decision to leave was just the fact that there's really no conference championship to play for, which was something that Keely and I are striving for in our last year. So I think coming here and having the opportunity to win a championship in the Big Ten is really big. But yeah, man, it was a crazy time to know that the Pac-12 is just decimated. Is it really don't make sense to me? But I mean, shoot, life goes on, man. But
as a as a follow up to what Ryan just asked, so you guys are in a position to potentially play for I believe Pac-12 championship, or maybe if you had beaten Oregon, that would have propelled Arizona into the Pac-12 championship. You could have played the spoiler. And then Jonathan Smith, it comes out that he takes the Michigan State job, and you guys go out and lose to Oregon. What was that like, experiencing a coach leaving in the middle of a really important rivalry game that had a lot of big implications, not only just for the season, but for your career? That Oregon State-Oregon game, big rivalry game, and the stakes were really high in that one. What was that whole week like for you?
It was a strange week. I don't want to say it lessened our morale, but just to know that our coach was, like, we're 90% sure that our coach was leaving before we're about to play a game against our in-state rivals is, like, it's not easy to take, especially when we're going and try and perform. But, I mean, sure, we gave it our best, man. Like, Oregon had a really solid team. We didn't perform as well as we should have, regardless of the outside noise. And I mean, sure, there's nothing more to be said about that.
We should bring up something like happier. Like, did you lose a pet when you were a kid? No, I'm sorry. Like, sorry, two bad ones in a row. I watched. Sorry, man. It's like, hey, so tell me about that horrible time. No, it wasn't just from a fan's like. It was hard for us to believe. You know, covering USC, we knew USC was leaving, but I still covered the Pac-12, and to see it sort of just crumble like that was crazy. But for you. Coming to USC, I watched your Day in the Life vlog. So if you want to check it, you can tell everyone where you can find your vlog there. But a day in the life of a USC football player, which was before spring football. So you had PRPs and stuff. But I thought that was kind of interesting where you're like walking around being like, And I was in Corvallis, and now I'm in Los Angeles. Like, what's, you know, kind of going on? But it sounded like a genuine moment where you're just like, wow, I can't even believe I'm here. But tell people about the vlog and then, you know, kind of that move and what you like about being in LA now.
Well, I'm from SoCal, so I'm used to the LA, I won't say lifestyle, because I'm not necessarily from LA. But sure, man, I grew up just watching YouTube. It was really something that I've always wanted to do. And I was in a position to be able to use my platform to try and get on there. I got one of my good friends, one of my old teammates, Micaiah Tung. He really is the one that put me on to how to get started with that. He does the same kind of vlog thing. He started it, I think, last year or the year before. So shout out to Micaiah Tung. He's the one that helped me get this started. But yeah, I think it was just cool especially USC fans or maybe even high school kids, middle school kids that like watching YouTube and like football, just to see what goes on. Just know that, you know, I'm not doing anything out of the ordinary. I'm putting in work just like everybody else. And it's not like I'm a superhero or something, just because I go to SC. Like, I think it's cool at least for me growing up, it was cool to see some people on YouTube that were glorified in the media, but just to see them do normal daily things, I think that's something cool that I'd like to do and put on YouTube.
How can people find it, just to let everyone know? I'll put your Twitter up there, EastonM_1. But man, you got to look at it, because there's a lot. I asked them before the show, because we do a lot of video stuff here. We're on video, you know, YouTube right now. It's a lot of work putting those edits in and trying to put, you know, and I was like, I didn't know if there was some app like that you could just like do it pretty quick. But no, you're putting in the work for that.
Yeah, it takes a good, depends how much editing I do. It takes you be anywhere from like 6 to 8 hours of editing.
Wow.
Which is crazy. 6 to 8 hours of editing, yeah. But you can find me on, I think it's Easy1532 on YouTube, if anyone wants to check that out.
All right. Like and subscribe over there.
Like and subscribe for sure, yeah. Please.
What program do you use to edit, Easton? Because I'm really impressed. You're such a good football player, but those edits, those are professional, man. Those are awesome.
I tried. I took my time. I use Final Cut Pro. My old teammate, Micaiah, he uses that same software, so he told me to use that one. It's working pretty well for me, but like I said, I haven't found a shortcut on there, so I'm in there grinding.
There's got to be some.
For sure, for a good.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of shortcut. I do, like, what I would do, there was a app called Relive. It's more for social media stuff, but if you go, like, I'd go on hikes, and as you take pictures along the way, the GPS on your watch will, like, track where you are, and it'll put it all together for you. So it'll show the hike, and whenever it stops, like if you took a picture, it would like put it up there, or a video or everything. So it's kind of like that. So I'm sure there's some sort of program similar where it's like throughout the day you can kind of put stuff together and then add your edits. I don't know, but we got to use technology. It's got to be some technology.
When can we expect the next one?
I'm in the process right now of editing, so I'm trying. If not tonight, tomorrow, latest got to be the day after that.
All right.
We'll put that on it.
we're interrupting, Ryan. Yeah, so sorry to get in your editing time right now. Easton, I'm curious, going back to USC for a second. So you mentioned sitting down with Danton Lynn and the staff and watching the film, and it was really important to you guys to watch the film and get to know the coaches. So when you're in those meetings, when you're being recruited, what was the USC staff's pitch to you and Akili?
The pitch, it wasn't really anything crazy. I think it was just the way they made it feel like they need us here. That was something too in the recruiting process. We didn't want to just go somewhere just to go somewhere. Hence the reason we didn't take any photos on or do a photo shoot. We wanted to get in the film room and see what that was talking about. So I think the scheme, the way that Coach Riley, he's very soft-spoken, very well-spoken. He makes it feel like a very good family community. I think Akili and I both appreciated that. Akili was on board from the beginning when he came and saw us. So, yeah, I think it was just – the pitch wasn't anything crazy. I mean, all you really have to say here is just – it's USC. That's really what they say. That was the pitch. It's USC, and it worked.
We had a question in the YouTube chat. Sheldon says – how is Easton's role at Oregon State compared to the way the new staff is utilizing him as far as scheme goes?
It's pretty similar. They got me playing inside backer here, similar to Oregon State. And we run a lot of the same concepts, a lot of the same things. Coach Lynn has his own little spin on everything, which I think is cool. So it's kind of the same utilization as Oregon State. But we haven't even installed nearly as much as I think we were going to. So I'm expecting more. They got me a lot more in the coverage, which I think is pretty cool, which I enjoy. So I got to work on that. I got to fine tune my spot drops and just having better vision in the pass game. But yeah, they utilize me well, similar to Oregon State.
Easton, in the spring game, the two young linebackers really caught my eye, Desmond Stevens and Elijah Newby. What have been your impressions of those two guys?
It might be the most athletic 17 and 18 year olds I ever met in my life. I can't lie. Like we were playing basketball yesterday and they're throwing windmills down. Like they're definitely the most athletic freshmen I've ever met in my life. And true, at that point, now it's just the mental side. They're still young guys, so they haven't fully experienced what it's like to be in a college football season. But once they get some experience under their belt, I mean, nothing short of great for them, for sure.
I agree. I think it looks like USC, at least early on, really hit on those two guys. And Desmond in the spring game, he was everywhere when he was out there. So he certainly stood out to me. What about the more experienced guys? Whenever we would talk to Matt Entz, he would bring up you and Eric Gentry and Mason Cobb as sort of the leaders in the room and the guys who've stood out the most just because you've had the most experience and the most playing time. What's your relationship like with Eric and Mason, and what's it like competing against them, or what was it like competing against them every day in spring practice?
I think we, as a trio, make ourselves way, way better just with the experience we have of playing multiple years in college football. And, I mean, shoot, those two guys are dogs, too. I mean, look at AG on the screen. But, yeah, those guys are dogs, man. Like, I think just being around them and surrounding yourself with the people you surround yourself are really the ones that influence you both negatively and positively. And for them, they've had a positive influence on me, and hopefully I've had the same on them. Just with my work ethic and my experience. But yeah, man, I think it's gonna be a good season. Get to work next to a linebacker that's 6'6", which is pretty crazy, and then Cobb, who's similar built to me, got the same mechanics and things of that nature. But yeah, man, those are my brothers for sure. In the short period of time that I've been with them, we got really close, and I'm thankful for sure to be here with them.
Mark in the chat said, now I'm subscribed to his podcast, so his vlog. So you are now, you have a new subscriber there, at least from Mark.
There we go.
Where are you, Mark? Where are you right now, Easton?
I'm actually in Matt Ent's office. He's out of town recruiting, so I stole his office.
That's awesome.
And so I stole his sales.
AJ said, I love the Brian Cushing poster. So weren't sure. He's got the Brian Cushing one up there.
I wish.
Yeah. Any former USC linebackers that you kind of were, you know, familiar growing up in Southern California, Mission Viejo, that you kind of looked up to?
Yeah, you can't see. He actually has two more posters. He has Junior Seau right there and then Ray Mulaga right here. So, I mean, those might be like three of the best college linebackers, maybe. Shoot, they're top 10 for sure all time. Junior Seau is top 3. Same with Ray. But, I mean, shoot, those are guys that – I mean, sure, I got some big shoes to fill for sure. Those guys are legends, Southern California legends. So, yeah, Coach Ent's got some good posters in here. I might need to get a copy for sure.
Easton, it seems like you fit in really well pretty quickly at USC. Outside of having Akili to help you with the transition, which players on the team, I don't want to say have taken you under their wing, because it seems like you've taken – some guys under your wing, but who's helped you adjust to life at USC? Who are you closest with on the team, and who's made the transition easiest for you?
Hang out with a lot of the Polys on the team, a lot of the O&D linemen, like Gino, Mace Murphy. He's not Poly, but Mace Murphy. I hang with Cobb, Mason a lot too, Eric Gentry. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Like I said, the community here and the culture is really well. Just being here for, I mean, what is it, 3 months, 3.5 months, it's already felt like I'm part of the team and I'm with them. So, I mean, sure, this is really a collection of guys. And Akili and I always, you know, roll together. So, it's been nice, man. A lot of the guys are nice.
One of the changes to college football, it's changing all the time, obviously. We talked about the destruction of the Pac-12. But rule changes, too. We talked to Ramsey last week, and you know, there's that green dot thing, and we had a question in the chat about from AJ. Will you be wearing the green dot player? So would be the coach to player communication device in your helmet. Have you guys talked about that yet?
Oh, the mitt. Yeah, I had the mic for majority of the spring. I think they gave it to Akili and Kamari. They gave it to them too for a couple of practices, but majority of the practices I had it in there.
Okay, cool, man. Was it for the spring game too? And yeah, what's that experience like? I mean, this is a whole new thing for college football.
Spring game, we didn't use it. Coach Lynn just wanted a signal for that game. But yeah, it's for sure crazy because usually you're scrambling to go get a call from the sideline, which I mean the other 10 guys on the field should be doing. But to have the mic in your helmet, it's like you get the call instantly and you can instantly start communicating. And I think it speeds up the process for both offense and defense. And that along with the iPads too, we got iPads now on the sidelines like the NFL. So I think that's gonna help a lot for sure.
That's amazing. Was it tough at first hearing a coach speak to you in that way? Like, was there an adjustment period at all, or was it pretty easy to just, you know, they're talking to you in your helmet and you're ready to go?
Yeah, that's all you, the only thing they do before is right before we go on the field, he says, "Easton, this is good." And I said, "Yes." And that was it. And it was just a play.
Okay.
He does the volume good. And I said, "Yes." And he said, "All right." And that was it. Wasn't really adjustment. It's honestly so much nicer because you get to play right after you finish the last play. So I think it's pretty cool.
Nice. Well, I think we had some questions. I don't know if you had any else, Connor. We had some Peristyle questions. Do you want to like throw a couple of them at Easton from our message board?
Sure. I had one other question, sure, I wanted to ask before we get to that. So Easton, I'm curious, with Akili, you guys are obviously so tight and seemed like great friends too, in addition to being family off the field. When did your relationship with it, when did that kind of start? Was that, I mean, I know your parents eventually get together and then you guys become stepbrothers, but did you know him before that? When your parents first married, were you kind of like instantly best friends? Just take me through your relationship with your brother.
Since we're from the same area, Mission Viejo, we grew up relatively in the same place. He grew up in Carson too a little bit, but yeah, we played for the same youth football organization for our whole entire childhood. So I had known of him. He was like a weight classes above me. I don't know if it's weight classes, but two divisions above me. So I'd always seen him, and he when they're warming up, I was always playing. So I think he knew who I was as well. And then yeah, our parents got together. It was kind of a weird dynamic because I grew up as an only child with a single mom, and he grew up with two other siblings. So it was like going, you had one only child and one youngest child. So I think when he met me, he wanted to assert some dominance because he had two older siblings, and then he finally had a little brother. So he was, at first, the dynamic, it wasn't very well. You know, we used to fight a little bit. But as we got older, as we matured, now it's like, I mean, I call him like a couple times a day. If he's not here, I'm always seeing where he is. While I'm playing the video games together, I'm always with him. So I think as time progressed and as we got older, I think as I started to realize I got a bigger family, it took some time for me for sure, because I was the only child with no true father figure for a good amount of my life. I think once I figured out that this is my new life, this is my new family, it really changed my perspective on life, especially just understanding that I got to be able to accept others. And also, I mean, for me, it was like sharing. I was a bad little kid. Akili was a bad kid too. So at first we're butting heads, but I think together we just slowly but surely just started to get a better bond to my older siblings as well, and my dad too. So, I mean, shoot, man, as time went on, man, we got closer and closer. And now, I mean, I consider, man, my brother for sure, like, as if we were brothers from the start. So,
that's awesome. Yeah, well, he was the baby, right? And then you come in and he's like, "Hey, I want to be the baby." But then he's like, "Oh, I have someone to pick on now, too." So it's kind of like a little, you know, little interesting dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was exactly like that. Treacherous times. Treacherous times.
But it seems like it all worked out in the end. We can get to some of the fan questions now. BN2240, you might need some time to think about this one, so sorry if this puts you on the spot. You can say pass. He wants to know, if you were commissioner of college football for a day,
wow,
what changes would you make?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Changes to college football. I mean, shoot, I don't know. They're changing everything like every day.
Yeah.
Is that new kickoff rule going to be in effect this year? Like, I feel like, or probably next year.
The one that the NFL adopted? You know,
that's probably going to come to college pretty soon, right?
It probably will, but I don't believe that's a college rule for this upcoming season. I actually kind of like it because it's safer and then there will be more returns, which I think are more fun. So I'm all for that change. I think that's a good one.
I mean, shoot, what would I change? I'm not sure.
If anything comes to mind during these last few questions.
Just being the commissioner is a big change because we don't have a commissioner in college football. Just like that, just having like a single leader would be like a big change, you know? So
I want to shout out
– for sure.
I want to shout out Alani Noah Easton because in the spring game, I was watching that back a couple days ago, and he laid a good block on you, and that goes to this next question. 619 Grizzly wants to know, during practice, which offensive linemen have challenged you the most in terms of trying to shed a block?
Shed a block. I mean, shoot, I've had to go against each and every one of them. Elijah Page, I mean, shoot, he just the way he's built, hard to get around. We got E-Man at guard. He's probably the strongest guy. I was working out with him today. I mean, I've never seen a guy that's like 320 easily do pull-ups. He was doing pull-ups, 10 reps, just easy. We got Jonah. Jonah's one of the most athletic linemen I've ever played with. So going against him every day, especially when they do like a wide zone and he climbs, me trying to avoid him, he moves really well in space. Shooting that Alani and Amos, I mean, shoot, they might be the most physical linemen I've ever had to go against. Yeah, like you said, Alani. He caught me for sure. He got me in the head. I was dazed, and then he just threw me. I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was crazy. And then, and then we got Mace. So, yeah, each one of our linemen has special attributes to them. Yeah, shout out to Alani. Won't happen again. Can't let it happen again, for sure.
Sorry to bring that up. Thanks.
Now I know how he's.
We're, like, crushing him. Like, we should be nice. Coming at you're like, oh, by the way, I saw you get schooled in the
no,
game.
No, not
like,
school. Just he had a good block.
You got to face your defeats for sure. I was defeated on that play.
Hey, that's how you get better.
You always get another play after.
That's true.
Exactly.
Jackalope 3 wants to know, is there a game on the schedule that you're looking forward to the most?
Ooh.
I'll give the good answer that I should give, that each game is as important as the next. But, yeah, I definitely want my run back with Washington. I think that's going to be cool when I get to play Washington again at their stadium. Playing against Michigan, the number one team in the nation at Ann Arbor, I think is a once-in-a-lifetime. Play LSU at Allegiant Stadium. I mean, shoot, I think every game this year is a big game. It's all teams that I've never played before besides UCLA and Washington. So I think every game is a big opportunity for me. Even teams like Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin, like every team we play this year is going to be a challenge. So I think every game is pretty cool.
We asked Kamari Ramsey the same question last week, and I'm going to ask you. He said Marcellus.
UCLA?
No, so sorry. New question. He said Marcellus Williams was the spring camp MVP. Who was the spring camp MVP in your eyes?
The MVP of spring on defense side of the ball?
Either.
Selly had a very good spring. Either?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Honestly, I might have to give it to my guy, Can Guard Jack, Jacoby Lane. He's special. He's for sure one of the best receivers I've ever seen. And he's very young and very crazy. But, yeah, he's going to be – for all the people, for all the visuals that put out – their top projections, and he's not on there, man. Just wait. That's all I got to say. Our receiving core is insane.
I love it. Ryan, that's it for the Peristyle questions. Any YouTube ones?
I think we're done with the YouTube ones, and we do, I know we got to let him go get editing. You know, he's got to edit his vlog.
Anyway, I'm enjoying it. It's cool.
Yeah, I'll try to find out if there's any, I'll pass it along if I can find any sort of vlog, but you go through it. So watch it. Watch the vlog. I mean, the reaction. It's not easy editing video, especially when it's like a half hour video. Like what you're doing. It takes some time, but yeah, maybe you build that subscriber base a little bit. You can do some YouTube lives. They're a lot of fun. We're on YouTube live right now, so it's cool. It's podcasting too, but you know, the YouTube live, I think a lot, it's fun for the fans to kind of interact and ask you questions live during the show and everything. But this was awesome. I just give you the round of applause. Easton, Mascarenhas Arnold. Follow him on Twitter at EastonM_1. Oh, by the way, if you're going to the USC Trojans page to see like what his social media and stuff are, the Twitter's wrong. And he also didn't have 401 carries in his career before coming to USC. So there's a little mistake there. We'll send something over to Katie Ryan over at Sports Information. Let her know. Like, it might just like a copy paste editor error or something.
Yeah, definitely is. But
we got AJ had a comment here. I'll put it up on the screen. Oh wait, that's the wrong one. Sorry, technology. Tell him to offer Derek Harmon a starring role in the next vlog to keep some of those big offensive line off him. So, Derek Harmon.
He's the. Okay. He's in the transfer portal. He's a defensive lineman, but I don't
know. Oh, okay. Who are we talking about here? Okay, portal lineman.
I don't know if they.
I was going to say too.
Yeah.
Can you call out like people?
I haven't met.
Yeah, they don't know each other.
Yeah, like what's they get? Do you get involved? Like, you just came over. Do you get involved in the recruiting process at all? Like, if there's transfers coming in, they're like, hey, you want to talk to Easton? And if they have visits and stuff.
Yeah, I, with some of the young guys, I think. I haven't met any people in the portal that they're trying to get. I'm not too caught up with that.
Oh, cool. All right.
I don't know who this woman is. Is he good? I bet he's a good player.
Is that the Michigan State guy?
Oh, yeah. He's a
big boy in the middle, and that's what all the fans are obsessed with.
They're looking for something like that. So.
I heard he's pretty. I heard he's pretty good. Michigan State guy. I heard he's a dog.
Yeah. All right. So.
Shout out, Derek Harmon.
Well, shout out to you. These have been great the last few weeks. We've just had some just crushed, like amazing interviews. Easton, you crushed it here too. We appreciate you coming on. And thanks again to House of Victory for setting that up. We wish you best of luck. Hopefully, you enjoy the PRPs and summer workouts and everything. Good luck in finals and good luck, keeping the vlog going. Hopefully, it won't take you 8 hours to edit those things again. But.
Thank you so much, guys. Hope you have a blessed day. Thank you again.
All right.
Thanks, Easton.
Everyone else, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute talking more USC football.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, we're back here. Oops, put the wrong graphic up. Easton's now gone. So if you're watching on YouTube, now it's just you got me and Connor. And that was great. Another really good interview. I think this was your suggestion, right? You wanted one of the Arnold brothers.
Yeah, another home run. So thanks to Easton. I thought his answer about when he knew Akili before the parents got married, and then when they did, that sort of changed the family dynamics, and it was a tough adjustment. I thought that stuff was really interesting. And he shouted out Jacoby Lane as the spring camp MVP. So we got two MVPs, Ryan, and it's two young guys, a true freshman and Marcellus Williams. That's what Kamari Ramsey said. And then the sophomore wide receiver, Jacoby Lane. That was what Easton just said. And I think Lane is a big-time breakout candidate, so I'm so excited to see what he can do this year.
I don't want to get a voicemail from like Lincoln Riley or something about, if we're hyping up Jacoby Lane too much. You know, he only had that one catch in the spring game, but it was a one-hander. Your theory was like they want to kind of keep him under wraps. So if you one of your main linebackers is calling him the MVP, that's not really keeping it under wraps.
No, but are any LSU staff members watching this right now, or will they watch this? I think that's the most concerning thing for Lincoln Riley. So maybe, I guess you can never rule it out, but I don't know if us talking about it right here. It's more like putting stuff on tape, I think he's worried about.
He doesn't want to see all that, yeah. But yeah, Lane looks really good. And it was great. I mean, it was cool to get like a longer conversation with Easton. And sort of like we've seen Lincoln Riley bring in veteran guys that just seem like they could step in and be leaders, like Shane Lee, I thought was a really good leader. You know, it's, maybe the play wasn't up to what a lot of people wanted from a linebacker from Alabama. You know, Mason Cobb last year comes in, I think, really good on the leadership role. And it looks like Easton Mascarenhas-Arnold, same sort of thing. Like some of these veteran guys, we saw on the offensive side, especially the running backs with Austin Jones and Travis Dye and Marshall and Lloyd, like being able to come in and have production, under your belt, but also come in and be able to fit into the locker room and actually be a leader. Maybe Lincoln Riley and this team has made it look easy. I don't know how easy it is, but he seems like another guy that's kind of come in and fit in right away.
And if you haven't watched those vlogs, the first vlog especially, that focuses more on football, it's clear how easily Easton's fit in. Everyone is hanging out, and they have this funny conversation with Eric Gentry and a bunch of the young guys out on the quad. I'd highly recommend it. I'm excited for this next video. I wonder how much football stuff will be in there, because there was a ton of football stuff in the first one, and then the second one, it was more of like, I think it was spring break, so it was more of him hanging out with his friends. And I wouldn't be surprised if USC was like, hey, take it easy with some of this football stuff. Maybe they don't want too much behind the scenes, so this next one I think will be revealing in that regard. The more football, though, the better, because those, for me, are the most interesting parts of it.
For sure. And, the first one he put up, I think it only went up like a month ago, but it was actually a month before spring practice started. So I think he shot one during spring practice. It just takes a long time.
Okay. So then that'll be this next one.
Yeah. We'll see. I was hoping the PRPs, he was going to show some of that. But we didn't see, there wasn't any like footage or anything like that, but yeah, it was good. Great interview. Another great kid. Just another piece you think could be, help this USC defense get to a next level, which, was a pretty low down level before. I mean, more reason for optimism on the defensive side with him and Akili coming in.
I do think the culture on this year's team is the best out of the three Riley years, and he's talked about that. And some things that Lincoln Riley brings up, you kind of take with a grain of salt. But I do believe him when he says that. I think the first year the culture was good too, but then it's sort of, you know, the last two games, the way that season ended, there was sort of some cracks, and we'll see how this team responds when adversity hits, like it hits every team. But I do feel like the guys who have been part of these last two recruiting classes and the transfers, especially this most recent group, it is a really tight-knit group, and everyone loves Miller Moss, of course. So I'm excited to see how that sort of plays out and if that can lead to some wins that maybe we didn't see coming as the year goes on.
For sure. Before we get into everything else, we got a lot of stuff to get to. I want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's. Good stuff. They did, if you looked at the TraderJoe's.com website like I ask you to, they have these contests every once in a while. And Trader Joe's pizza recipe contest, the winner just came out yesterday, April 29th, I believe. And I was looking at it. You know, I'm a cheese guy. You know, there's cheese on pizza, of course. You had to come up, I think there was like seven different ingredients you had to use from Trader Joe's. One recipe, you had to take a picture, and then the grand prize winner was a charcuterie board pizza. So go to TraderJoe's.com. You can click on it at the top. Looks really cool. There's, you're using the olive oil and sea salt and things like that. But they're putting the triple cream brie, kind of the slices melted on top of the pizza. I like that a lot. Prosciutto. There's fresh basil on it. But also fresh blackberries. It's a really cool looking pizza, and it's not like a big saucy pizza, but it looks kind of like a charcuterie board on top of a pizza dough. So I thought that was a kind of interesting one. So some of the fun stuff they do over at TraderJoe's.com, we've been thankful for their sponsorship over the last several years, and it's been great. So go to Trader Joe's if you want to pick up something and maybe make a charcuterie board pizza.
Wow, points for creativity there.
Yeah, that's why they're a grand prize winner. I don't know what you win. I got to look to see. I forgot. I didn't see what the prizes were, but some cool stuff there. Cool stuff last night. We were both at the Legends of Troy event, Balboa Club, down in Newport Beach. I'll put a couple photos up there. Mark Sanchez was one of the moderators when the head coaches came up there. So you had Lindsey Gottlieb, Lincoln Riley, and Eric Musselman. Jen Cohen, the athletic director, was there. Rodney Pete was the Masters of Ceremonies. They mentioned all of the football players, the former football players that were in the audience. Well, almost all of them. Poor Chris O'Dowd didn't get mentioned. So I talked to him about that. It was kind of joking. Him and Jake Olson. Jake Olson was giving a little ribbing about that, but it was kind of funny. He's like, yeah, it's just the way it is. He was got this Rodney Dangerfield kind of line. But really cool stuff, entertaining. Thought they did a nice job with it. So many former players. Just star players from, all the different eras, seeing Lindell White, and, Darnell Bing, we talked to for a while. Lindell's thinned out. He's a lot thinner, not just when he's playing, but he had some, I think he had a few health issues when he looks really good. Lofotutupu, who's went to high school near where Connor and I went to high school, got to chat with him a little bit. A lot of, cool players. John David Booty, yeah, so many guys were there. It was pretty crazy and fun to see, fun to chat with. Sean Cody wearing like a Hawaiian shirt. Like most people are business casual. Some of the guys are like dressed down a little bit. He was one of them. Brandon Hancock somehow got involved in the song, the made up song and stuff. But it was a cool event. It looked like it was a lot bigger than what we'd seen from events in the past. More donors, more players, more legends. It just seems like things are going in the right direction. So just to see where like House of Victory and where USC's NIL sort of efforts were like a year ago, it's almost like a different deal now, just a year later.
That's how I see it too, Ryan. And I think even without some of the court case stuff that's made it easier for House of Victory to operate and negotiate with, they were negotiating with transfers in the past, but high school kids and just now sort of that it's a free-for-all, that's helped, of course. But I also think operationally the fact that they've hired a few more employees has been huge. And I think USC fans always sort of understood how important NIL was, but maybe they needed a little bit of a push. And I think over the past year with Jen Cohen and with Lincoln Riley and with House of Victory, their advertising, Spencer does a great job over there. USC fans now sort of understand how important that is to – you got to – make money to build a football roster and to get players for other sports too. So I think it's a culmination of things for House of Victory being in a better place, and last night sort of was the cherry on top. We saw a lot of donors, a lot of players. It's well-backed. Like, if the former players didn't want to be there, no one's forced them to go, but it was a nice opportunity to see a lot of support from former players and from donors, and I do think things are moving in the right direction for sure.
Yeah, Roddy Lott was the featured speaker, and that, you know, having like a, you know, Hall of Famer at all levels there kind of just stepped it up, and you're like, oh, okay. And if you remember last year, I believe it was the QBU one, Lincoln Riley, like, so they had a panel again, and I thought Lindsey Gottlieb was really good both years, but last year, Lincoln Riley, like, the message was like to let people know, hey, this is NIL isn't a like nice to have. This isn't the wok in your kitchen. It's a must. It's the saucepan. Like, you need this. If you're going to have a kitchen at all, you need a saucepan. You can't, you know, you can have a kitchen without a wok, but you can't have it without a saucepan. This is not a nice to have. It is a must have. And this year, I think they kind of took it to another level. But I think last year it was more just like letting fans know. And I talked to several boosters that were there, and you know, one guy was just really coming around to it. Like, oh, okay, now we want to help get these players. I'm going to make donations to this USC's NIL effort. So educationally, it seems like it's picking up steam too. Like, people are figuring out. It just was a thing to do, but the landscape is changing daily, and there's been stories this morning about, you know, a potential settlement between the House and NCAA, the lawsuit where you know, players weren't compensated for years for name, image, and likeness. There'd be some like back pay for that, but essentially making it so universities would be paying players directly. It would be more in-house, so like House of Victory would be part of USC instead of like a separate entity, and there'd be a little bit more control over that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's changing all the time, but players getting compensation is here to stay. And I think that this was another way to kind of let donors know this is the way things are going. If we can't keep up, you're just going to fall behind. And it's not like a, oh, well, you know, if you're not going to be successful without good NIL efforts. It seems like it's an impossibility right now in college athletics.
That's the truth. And the big recruit in the 2025 class is Julian Lewis. And while he's committed to USC, he hasn't shut down his commitment or his recruitment, excuse me, and he's still planning on taking some other visits. So USC still has some work to do there. NIL-wise, I'm told behind the scenes, working to get a deal done with him and his family that will make him shut down his recruitment. That's a big goal for some USC people on the collective side. And then what that does is once he's in the fold for sure, you'll start to see some dominoes fall and some guys who are already committed shut down their recruitments, as well as some other guys join the fold. So I think that's really significant, and NIL has a lot to do with that as well. I told you that was going to happen, Ryan.
Oh, we'll let you fix your microphone there. I'll put the camera on me for a second. So yeah, that thing fell off again.
Can I just switch for the rest of the show, or is that a pain?
No, you could switch, yeah. Yeah, you go over that one, move it over. Let me turn that one on. Try to move it all the way over if you can. I'll put up this comment on the screen. Sorry for the technical difficulties.
Right when I was making my big point, it all goes to...
Yeah. Josh says, as a Trojans fan, I've always known how important NIL is. It seems the administration just didn't want to spend the bag for some reason. And then AJ followed up with, I think Mike Bone didn't want funds to be diverted from the athletic department to NIL. So, and I believe that's the case. I think just talking to people that are involved, let's see if Connor's back. Kind of.
It looks funny, but I mean.
I'll put this here.
Hold on. Oh.
I got to move you. I got to, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're like screwing things up for me. Yeah. So I think from what I was told, like Mike Bone didn't embrace, I guess, NIL the same way that Jen Cohen is. USC's been sort of slow to adapt a lot of that kind of stuff over the years. It's just the way it is. And, you know, I think he just, you know, yeah, there And there's, I think a lot of administrations across the country were apprehensive because, you know, there's only so many donor dollars out there. And if someone's going to say, well, I need $1 million for NIL, I was going to give you $1 million, but I'm going to have to give it to the players instead. Some of that is just the mentality is like trying to figure that out. But yeah, I think that's the case. I think Jen Cohen is definitely understands more that NIL is not a nice to have. It's a must have. And I don't think Mike Bone thoroughly embraced that. Like, I don't think it was against it, but it wasn't like, this is what this, you know, we need this kind of thing, if that makes sense.
And I remember during the football season, there was a big talking point. There's only so much money in the pool of USC donors, and some people at the school wanted to go to the school as a whole and not just athletics. And other people wanted to go to athletics. And it was tough to sort of – like the message I feel like was a little bit off. And there were even some collective sort of butting heads. Do you remember that, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Later in the season. But it sounds like behind the scenes, just everything has been smoothed out. And I think Jen Cohen deserves credit for that. I know she's got – some of those collectives all in the same room together. And as more time has gone on, House of Victory is the donor collective. And that is a massive, massive part of everything. And then there are some other ones as well, the Tommy Group and the Conquest Collective. And they work more with brands, but everyone has the same goal. And I think Jen Cohen has really done a nice job of, even though the collectives are a little bit different, reminding everyone, hey, we're all in this together. And even though they aren't totally together right now, and I don't know if that's ever going to change in the future, they do seem to be more on the same page, and I think there's more harmony there, which is significant too.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. So, yeah, but it was a cool event. Thanks again, House of Victory, for putting these kind of interviews together we do today, and then, you know, inviting us out there. There was a few media people there. It was cool to just kind of see some people and various levels of dressing up. I think me and Will Poole were like the only two guys, or only two of the people that had a tie on. So, I still like the way my shirt looked. I was going to not wear a tie, but the shirt didn't look as good, so I just put a tie on. But Will Poole is like, you got to look good, so it was good. Former USC safety.
I was no tie. I tried on one shirt, and it was way too big that I got for Christmas. I had never worn it before, so that's a big disappointment. I'll probably have to return that, even though that's just – it's probably way too late. Put on another shirt, and yeah, just I think I could have used an iron, though.
Oh, maybe iron wrinkled up a little bit. Yeah. You could. We both got our new 247 shirts on now. So Connor's official now. Like, it took a while.
It took 9 months.
We only get like these certain windows to order shirts. And I don't think we had ordered any since Connor came on board. So I have way too many 247 shirts, but whatever. I like them. So yeah. So we each got a new one. That's the red one you got for you. The draft happened too. We can kind of go through that real quick. You don't have to, but like, Caleb Williams, number one, to the Chicago Bears. Funny that Rome Odunze was getting drafted with them. They were hanging out and stuff beforehand. So I think there was some talk, at least, of that happening, and it ended up falling that way. And maybe Atlanta going Michael Penix. I think a lot of people thought Atlanta might take a guy like Rome Odunze, but he goes to Chicago. So Caleb Williams gets to go there and gets a weapon right away. That's pretty cool. Kalen Bullock was the next player drafted, number 78 overall to Houston Texans. Marshawn Lloyd, the running back, 88 overall to Green Bay. Little bit of a lull there. And then Jarek Kingston, the offensive lineman, number 215 to the 49ers. And Brendan Rice is staying in L.A., number 225 to the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh. Solomon Bird is going number 238. To the Houston Texans, and then Taj Washington snuck it in there in the seventh round, going to the Miami Dolphins. So he'll be down in South Florida cooking up stuff for the Dolphins. So
Christian Roland Wallace, too, very quickly signed a $150,000 guaranteed contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe guaranteed contract isn't the right word, but he got $150,000. So he was one of those undrafted free agents who was a priority. And I wonder if him and his agent, maybe he could have been drafted in the seventh round, but he would have preferred to just pick the team. And he told people not to draft him. I don't know how it all shook out, but I was happy to see him land somewhere too. I thought he was going to get drafted. I was a little bit surprised that he didn't. I felt like he had a really strong season.
He did too. Yeah. So the former USC football players heading to the NFL. So kind of follow along with them. Obviously the most high profile one being Caleb Williams. But yeah, the Bears had a really good draft. My Steelers had a really good draft.
Did they?
Yeah. People saying, like, they got the West Virginia center, like, way later than people thought. Like, he's just a bruising guy. Like, that linebacker, where the hell is he from? I forget what. But, like, yeah, they got some good players and stuff.
They do usually draft well.
They figure this stuff out.
They just need a quarterback, man.
I know. Well, your Patriots got Drake May, right?
I know. He's Josh Allen and Josh Herbert, the best traits Justin of both Herbert. Guys mixed together, or Justin Herbert mixed together. That's what everyone in Patriots land is saying.
Yeah, you want a rookie defensive coach for a new quarterback. It always works out.
Right? I know, and the former Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator who didn't call any plays is now the Patriots play caller. So we'll see.
Yay. But fun stuff in the NFL draft. It's an event, and it just – to me, it's just like, man, you got to put signing day back in February. You need to get – something for college football. You can't put all your cool stuff in December, you know, like stop. Like it's too many things there. It was way better to have a separate signing day in February, get more eyeballs and all that stuff. Yeah. So cool stuff. We'll follow along, you know, during the season, see how these guys do. Should be fun. We got some questions to get to, or is there anything else you wanted to bring up, Connor? I don't think there's much else going on.
I just thought it was cool. Caleb Williams did the claw gesture with his hand, and it's taken over Chicago. No one thought of that in the 100-year history of the Bears or however long they've been around. He gets drafted first overall, does this claw in this picture, and now like it's this thing. Like he hasn't even been there a freaking day, and he does this thing that's sort of transforming the city. So I can't imagine what he's going to do on the field. I'm so excited. It seems like just the vibes and – The talent that he had, like Chicago, I really believe finally has its quarterback, and I'm excited to see what he does there.
Yeah. They're saying that the linebacker's from North Carolina State. Yeah.
Yeah. He's old, though, right? There's something weird with him.
Is there something weird? I don't know.
Anyway,
we got a voicemail. I think it might be a relative. I haven't listened to it yet, but I thought it might be
irrelevant.
No, a relative of yours. Oh. It looked like, yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
My mom?
We'll see. Hold on.
Hi, my name's Steve. Just heard your podcast with Dan Weber. Love Dan Weber. Gives his opinion. That's what I like about Connor. Connor's the best co-host you've ever had. He's not afraid to peel back the onion and give an opinion. He's not a go-along, get-along guy, so everybody likes him. I really appreciate the way he's not afraid to give his opinion, even if it maybe doesn't go with USC. And keep it up, Connor. Love you.
Wow. Thanks, Uncle Steve.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not related. That was Steve, right?
Yeah, Steve.
Not related to Steve. Steve, thank you so much. That really means a lot. I appreciate it. I mean, I do have an Uncle Steve, but he does not sound like that.
Oh, that's your Uncle Steve. Thanks,
wow.
Uncle Steve.
That made my day. Thank you so much.
We actually had a 5-star review, too. We haven't had it in a while. Mac E. says, always on the money. Thanks to Ryan and the gang, Chris, Connor, Shotgun, for always delivering an entertaining and fun show. I love the opportunities to get to know the players better through the new House of Victory interviews, in addition to the usual updates, recruiting, game reviews, and insights you've been delivering for years. Fight on, gents. When will you interview the Song Girls? No plans for that, but thank you for the 5-star review and the feedback and stuff. Oh, AJ says in the chat that he has no ACL in one knee. That's why it dropped.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you need an ACL? I don't know.
And he also says, Connor, screw you.
Just nice. We had an email question, and Frank in Sacramento doesn't always ask questions. They're usually just statements, but this actually has a question at the end, or at least there's a question mark there. Looks as though college defensive linemen know how much they're worth at the position. So they jump in the transfer portal for a few days until they get a better offer from their current college and then decide to stay. Bear Alexander, Jay Toia. So we've been saying Jay Toia for a long time. And David Woods, who covers UCLA, where he says Toia, it's not Toia. But everyone says Toia. And Gerard's been saying Toia since he was a recruit. And he usually gets all those Polynesian names right. And Dave Woods is saying it's Toia, by the way. So I'm going to say Toia, just whatever. And the Georgia defensive lineman, Christian Miller, come to mind as examples of this. What are your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is Bear Alexander and Christian Miller know each other, and I think they're in the same recruiting class, or maybe they were a year off. But either way, like, didn't what Bear do look exactly like what Christian did, to the point where they reached out to not the 247 people, the On3 guy who said, oh, Bear's going to enter the transfer portal, and then a day later he changes his mind. And then Christian Miller's going to enter the transfer portal, and then a day later he changes his mind. They're advised by the same people. They did the exact same move, and credit to them, it worked in both instances. Both guys, they never officially entered, but they told people that, hey, you know, we're thinking about it. We're going to, you know, we might be gone. Leads to a better payday. That's exactly what happened, and they run in similar circles. They're advised by the same people. They did the same play, and it worked. And just quickly, the show, everyone has been so nice to me on the show, and so I'm just going to take it to the next level. I got so much crap on the Peristyle when I said that I didn't think Miller was going to leave, and everyone was like, well, and then he announced he was going to leave. So, man, what do you mean? What do you mean? He never entered the portal. There's a big difference between plans to enter and will enter. And those two guys, like I just said two times, advised by the same people, they did the exact same thing, which was threaten to enter, make more money at their current school, and stay, and it worked.
Right. So
but to answer the question, that's what they're doing. And I think Frank? Frank pointed it out, and that's the play. That's what these guys are doing. And look at Derek Harmon right now. He's the top defensive tackle in the portal. USC wants him, but he's taking all these visits. He's being courted by all these schools because it's a position, it's a premium position, and schools are desperate. USC is certainly desperate, and other schools are desperate too. They need big guys to clog up the middle, and all the power to these guys. They have a lot of value, and they're flexing their muscle. They're saying, hey, you know, highest bidder, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, supply demand, and when guys like the players that you mentioned with Bear Alexander or Jay Toia, like those guys go back to their school, they were some of the most coveted players out there, and now they're not leaving. So that's way less supply, and those guys become in way more demand. And it's smart to know it. Like if there was only, one running back in the whole transfer portal, people would want, and they need, there 10 teams need running backs. Guess what? Like the price for that guy is going to go up. If 10 teams need running backs and there's 100 running backs in the portal, like it's not going to be that exclusive, so it's not going to help, the price isn't going to go up. So it's capitalism at its best. And right now, defensive linemen, they're not grown on trees. So if you get a good one, they're going to make some money. And if you feel like you can get a better deal and just stay where you are, we've seen players do that. Yeah, makes sense.
Did you talk with David about Jay? Was it the same sort of playbook, or have you not talked to him?
No, I talked to him a little bit. He's
because I don't know what's happening financially with UCLA. Like, was there a way better offer there?
I think
with him,
from what like Gerard had said originally, like Jay didn't want to leave USC, and there were sort of like outside influences that kind of influenced him to do that. And I think the same sort of thing was in play.
Okay.
Where there might have been some outside influences, and he's just not someone that wants to like leave Los Angeles. He seems happy from what I had heard. I don't know the full story, but that's, I think, kind of along those lines where sometimes it's not just the player wanting to go. It's like people around him in his circle and trying to, push a move. So his former, one of the – Johnny Nansen, one of the coaches that was involved getting him from USC to UCLA, is now at Texas. So I think that's why the Texas rumors were out there a bunch. But at the end of the day, I don't think he really wanted to leave. And I don't know what happened to make it so he didn't leave, but he didn't leave. And I think that's kind of what the kid wanted. And so good for him. You went – there's a lot of freedom, and a lot of players will have – people in their ear all the time. But, at the end of the day, it's your decision. You're an adult now. You can, if you want to go to school here, you can. If you want to go somewhere else, you can. Whatever you want to do. So it seems like, from what I heard, he wanted to stay there. He's staying there. And that just drives up the price of defensive linemen and the rest of the country.
Yeah. Well, his situation just seemed a little different to me than Bears, than Christian Miller's, than Derek Harmon, who's probably going to leave Michigan State, if not definitely going to leave. That one just felt different. And maybe he did get more money, but that was kind of quick. And I think it's to your point, like maybe the people in his camp weren't on the same page and, you know, hey, he's going to leave. And then he was like, actually, I want to stay and I'm good. I think those other guys were looking to make a little bit of money, and maybe it worked out for Toya that way too. I can't speak to that, but his situation, like I keep saying, felt a little different.
Yeah. We got one more email. Sir Eric of Troy says, right, I wanted to state that I am thrilled that Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. No one is happier about this than I am. My question is, are you or anyone on your staff aware of anyone who is not happy about this? Personally, I wonder if Pat Hayden is suddenly having a hard time sleeping at night right now. I'm sure you and everyone else remembers his wet noodle stance on the entire matter. What, if anything, have you guys heard? Thanks for your response. I'm in my 22nd consecutive year as a member of the Peristyle. You're obviously doing something right. Keep it up. Sincerely, Sir Eric of Troy. 22 years, man. Thank you so much for that. That's awesome. Appreciate you. We'll give you some applause for that. if you guys are listening and not a member, you want to be like Sir Eric of Troy, get on that membership. You know, 30% off right now. Go check it out over at uscfootball.com. Get on the Peristyle because it's like the crazy stuff. That's where it's all happening. Connor and I both put some detailed recaps of what we saw at the House of Victory event last night up there, but lots of cool stuff that goes up, the War Room every week and everything. But yeah, any thoughts? I mean, we haven't heard from Pat Hayden in a long time. You know, he's not been around the school as far as I know. I think there were some health issues. So I don't think Pat Hayden is, you know, crying that Reggie Bush got his Heisman back.
Well, Bill Plaschke wrote a column and he was happy that he got it back, but then he said he still broke rules, which by the letter of the law, I guess is true. But I just think that's such a bad argument because everyone else in big time college football was breaking rules. And what Reggie did, you make a lot of your analogies, Ryan, like maybe like 2 miles over the speed limit. And there were other things going on at other schools that were way worse. 2 wrongs don't make a right, of course. But I just think that's such a tired narrative. Like, yeah, oh, well, he did break the rules back then, so can we all just relax? Like, it's been relitigated over and over, and we've talked about it so much. But it was just so minor, and that's what made the whole thing so crazy to begin with, the fact that he felt pressure to give it back when what he did was, you know, wrong by the letter of the law. But, I mean, Eric Musselman last night at House of Victory said – the House of Victory event talked about how NIL and the SEC, it's been there a lot longer than NIL's been legal. Like, these guys have been getting paid to play, and I don't want to get you in trouble, but I'm sure USC was a part of that too back in its heyday every now and then to get a top recruit. Like, you got to do what you got to do. But everyone did it, and that's what made it so egregious. USC got penalized so much more than everyone else. Now I sound like this USC homer, but that column by Plaschke, I just think that what he said is technically true, but it's not a good argument. And then I think he was just trying to get people riled up, and it worked on me.
Yeah, it riled you up a little bit. I think the big difference is we've talked about a bunch. We don't need to go too, you know, in detail about it. But there's, you know, you can break rules. And if you go, you know, 5 miles over the speed limit, they don't throw you in jail. And that's sort of like what the equivalent was. I think when you're talking about rules for a school, like you're trying to keep a competitive – the number one thing, you want to keep it an even competitive playing field, right? So if you look at like Auburn winning the national championship with Cam Newton coming in there, and you know his dad was accepting money for Cam to go to school there. His dad couldn't go to the Heisman ceremony, but they didn't do anything to Cam. They didn't do anything to Auburn. Auburn got, you know, wouldn't have won a national championship unless Cam Newton was paid to go there. That wasn't the case with Reggie Bush. And I think that's probably one of the harder things for people, especially in the SEC country, where there was a lot more paying for players. There's way less. We talked about this with some of the legends last night. There's not the same kind of competitive landscape on the West Coast. If USC is huge, they're the 800-pound gorilla like Alabama would be, but there's no Georgia or LSU or Florida around them. Like, if USC is huge, everyone else is just kind of small. And you want to stay on the West Coast, you just go there. And that's the way it works. Reggie Bush wasn't paid to go to USC. Some wannabe agent was trying to get him to leave. So the USC didn't have a competitive advantage for any benefits that Reggie Bush or his family received. So USC didn't play any – they wouldn't get any guys that they were going to get otherwise. That's the issue. It's like USC didn't benefit on the field because of something, where Auburn, like, benefit on the field because you wouldn't have had this guy who won you a national championship without paying him to go there. So I think that's the big thing, where was it a, you know, were rules broken? Sure. But there weren't any kind of competitive advantage rules that – that's why USC won. If Reggie Bush's family didn't get some house from a wannabe agent for a while, USC still wins the same amount of games. Like, he still runs for 500 yards or whatever against Fresno State. Like, none of that changes if those benefits went away.
Cam Newton won his Heisman and nothing ever happened to him.
Yeah. His dad couldn't go to the ceremony. Like, that was it. I think that was the only thing. If they kind of put the blame on him, but, you know, Cam got to win the Heisman. Auburn won a national championship. Yeah, it's like that changed the whole college football season for that year, and, you know, probably for years to come because of that. Nothing like that was happening at USC. So for them to get hammered like that, that's what, you know. If you're upset that he's getting it back, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, so to go back to the email, I mean, RJ wrote a story that the Peristyle didn't like, so maybe RJ is not happy. I don't think that's true, but
yeah.
He wrote a story that I think had the most negative votes that I'd have ever seen. Doesn't mean it's a bad story, by the way. It just means people don't like it on our website, which happens sometimes. But sometimes, hey, those stories get the most read. So I guess maybe RJ gets a half vote for that email, but I mean, I don't know. Is Pat Hayden upset?
I don't think so.
He's had the whole just leader – like the leadership that USC had back then was so bad, and I just wonder if he's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. And I hope he's happy.
Yeah, you hope he's happy.
Like, why would he be upset? Is he that vindictive?
I would not think so, but who knows? I mean, just – I think some people get mad at the performance was terrible. You know, he was very, very, very bad as the athletic director. And Lynn Swann, very, very, very bad as the athletic director. Both were very, very good football players. And but they were not good as athletic directors. And I don't necessarily blame them. Like, they should have ever been put in that place to begin with. But you have bad leadership from all over the place, from trustees to the presidents, all that stuff going on. The people, like, influencing these decisions to just put their buddies in there as the AD. Then when something bad happens, well, now your leader is not very competent, and then you're going to make wrong decisions. And then one, you know, bad decision from Reggie Bush's family turns into, 2-year bowl ban later. And you're just, you know, it's like that thing where if, like, you know, if you don't pay your parking ticket, it's fine. If you don't pay 10, you get a boot on your car, you know? And, like, if you have to, like, pay attention to this stuff, and you put you get a bad CEO for a company for 10 years, and maybe the stock doesn't go down for the first year or two, but then it starts to go down. The more bad decisions piled on bad decisions. And USC had decades of just bad decisions piling up. And then you can't fix if a mess comes up like this. Then you don't have the capabilities to fix it, because you can't even keep the thing floating if it's good, you know. And then something bad comes, you don't know what to do. So I think that's where USC was. And now, at least, USC has better leaders in place, and if something bad does come up, you're more equipped to deal with it.
I agree. So who's mad? Someone else popped into my head. Maybe Vince Young, who some people think he should have won that year. Maybe he's mad. But I don't know why he'd be mad, because it's not like when Reggie didn't get it, he got it. So I can't think of anyone.
There was talk about giving him the Heisman when Reggie gave it back, and I think he was like, no, Reggie
good.
Won the award. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that's a long time ago, but I believe he said no.
Can you think of anyone, I mean, outside of, like, rival fans who would be mad?
Yeah, like, if you're a USC fan, I mean, there's some people that don't like – and Reggie is not without blame. I mean, I think he could have been much more – he could have been apologetic. He could have been – there's ways he could have handled it better too, I think, you know. At the end of the day, he won the award, and I think he should have had the award. But there's some people don't like that, you know, he never apologized, or – you know, the fact that the sanctions came because of stuff that his family did, and he never, you know, whatever. I mean, so if you're mad at Reggie, I could see that, but I don't see why you'd be mad that the Heisman's back, and you have USC has the most Heisman's now of any program. So I can't imagine being mad at that. But I know some people are still upset with Reggie and the way he's kind of acted throughout this. And that, I mean, it's fine. That's just your opinion. But I don't think they're like, man, I never wanted him to get his Heisman back. I don't think people were like that, but who knows?
Maybe someone. I actually think I might have saw one message on our message board, someone like that.
If but we put it out on Twitter, there's going to be someone like, hey, any USC fans hate that Reggie gets his Heisman? Yeah. I have a bunch of people like, yeah, screw that guy. You know, there'll be some of that. Yeah. So, but no one that I've talked to or sort of interacted with that I know is like a regular person has been upset that Reggie got the Heisman back. Yeah. All right. Well, we've had like technical difficulties. Connor's on the wrong mic. I think Easton had a little – there was a little delay in the audio. So sorry about that. But yeah, it seemed like it was good, but it's, I think the longer the interview went, the delay got a little bit longer. So I was like, all right, we should probably wrap it up.
We got to get Matt Ed some better Wi-Fi in that office.
Yeah, we were – yeah, he was in – yeah, it's so funny. He's in his linebacker coach's office, but that was cool. But great. Thanks to Easton for coming on. He was great, and hope you guys enjoyed that interview. And again, thanks to House of Victory for setting it up. Trader Joe's for being our longtime sponsor, and Mr. Triple Double Connor right here next to me for coming in. I know you got stuff to do. You got to get out of here.
I'm just happy that the basketball commitment today didn't happen during the show. I was able to write up a quick article and make it here in the nick of time. I will say if Terrence Williams had committed a little bit earlier, the microphone probably doesn't fall because then I have more time to fix it before the Eastern article. But I'm not blaming him for the technical difficulties, if that's what that sounded like. That was all on me. I didn't fix the microphone. It fell right when I was making a great point about Julian Lewis. What can you do? I can't use that now for my Instagram. I'm all pissed off. But that's okay. That's okay.
Good stuff. All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Been fun doing the show. Next week is final, so we might not do an interview with the players. We'll see. We'll set something up again. But we'll keep doing these throughout the offseason. Got to talk with the House of Victory people last night. They're happy with what we've been doing. We're happy with it. The players seem very happy. So we'll keep bringing you these. Hopefully it's fun for you, getting, you know, some more insight into some of your favorite players or potential favorite players. So for Connor Morissette, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
All right, we have 30 seconds.
Great, let's mention the cool new products at your neighborhood Trader Joe's.
We don't have enough time for all those.
Or we could talk about the crew.
We love the crew.
We could have customers tell us about their new Trader Joe's recipes.
Did I mention we have 30 seconds?
See, this is why we have a podcast called Inside Trader Joe's, so that we have time to talk about all of those things.
30 seconds is up.
Inside Trader Joe's is available wherever you listen to podcasts, like this one.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.